Shalom, shalom to one and all. This is Yoshua, and it's time for us to embark on our next Take 10 for Torah, Parsha Shmini edition. First of all, I know that we're on the heels of what was truly a once-in-a-lifetime Pesach. Pesach, within the world of Chassidus, is known to be the Rosh Hashanah for Emunah, the new year for faith in God, where Hashem showed that He was the ultimate manipulator and the ultimate one in control of all nature, and He threw down the plagues and split the sea and brought us out of bondage, etc., etc. He revealed Himself to us, and that's what we're supposed to be focusing on right now, Hashem's revelation, how Hashem is with us, is present with us, is involved in our lives. That is why we are here, and that is the purpose of Pesach, to be able to hone in and to be able to see Hashem in our lives. So may this experience of our re-experiencing of the Exodus catapult us through the rest of the year with much more dedication, focus, and joy, and bring us to the coming of Shavuos and the coming of the Mashiach, when Hashem gives us His personal diary, His Torah, and it's the most beautiful gift known to mankind. So may we be zocha, may we get there speedily in time and on a higher plane than we are right now. Back to Parsha Shmini, there are a bunch of ideas I'd like to speak about, but I want to preface, Parsha Shmini is a very complicated Parsha. We start off speaking about the inauguration, the final inauguration of the Mishkan, when Hashem finally rests His Shechina amongst us, and it's very exciting. And then we go straight from this sublime and beautiful experience to a very tragic one, and that's the death of Nadav and Avihu, the two children of Aaron. Whenever in the Torah we find that the Mefarshim, that the commentators give a million different answers and a million different interpretations, Rav Tzadok teaches it's because each reason and each comment is meant to give us a unique detail and lens and spark of the ultimate truth, but it means that we haven't fully grasped it. So when we read about the death of Nadav and Avihu, it is vital that we comprehend that Nadav and Avihu were two tzaddikim. The Midrashim say that they were the highest of high, that they were the holiest of holies, that they were such tremendously esteemed individuals. And when we speak about their death, we should obviously approach it with humility, but we should also understand that each interpretation given by the commentators is going to give us a detail, is going to give us a spark, but it doesn't encapsulate the entire picture. So we should glean something from it while understanding that it's not everything and that there's so much more to the picture than meets the eye. The pasuk says, "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe achrei moshnei bnei Aaron bikarvasam lefnei Hashem vayamusu," that they died, that the children of Aaron died when they became close before God. And the Abarbanel, as well as the Sifra, if you look in Parak Yud, Pasuk Aleph, both teach that the reason why Nadav and Avihu were killed was because they decided to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, without explicit permission. That's why they were killed, because they went in without being commanded to do so. And obviously, then they brought the Ketores, they brought the offering. And the Abarbanel says that that was a very, very severe thing. And we learn that from the punishment, since they were killed. This reminds me, and this is actually very apropos of what we're going through right now, as we're all sequestered, as we are all quarantined within our homes, we're all really on top of each other. And it's important for us to be respectful of other people's privacy. There's a very funny midrash. If you look in Vayikra Rabba, Perek Chaf Aleph, Midrash Ches, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai there gives us an important lesson. He says that there are four things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamish hates, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai also hates. One of them is when people walk into each other's rooms without knocking. That's right. You heard it here first. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai hated when people walked into his home without knocking. He said, all the more so when you walk into other people's homes. You should walk in only after knocking and being permitted to enter. Now, this is something that we can learn from Nadav and Avihu. Now we're going through our homes and we're surrounded by lots of different people. It's important for us to respect other people's space, to make sure that we don't look at other people when they don't want to be looked at, that we allow people to be able to breathe and to have their own abode, because that's where people flourish and that's how people get to develop. And if we're too overly on top of other people, it makes other people feel uncomfortable. And it's important for us to be cognizant and respectful of that. In a similar vein, the Sfas Emes also mentions that, once again, they were killed because they weren't commanded to come inside. They weren't commanded to give the karban, the ketores. It's also worth it to note, as we mentioned before, these were really, really pious and righteous people. None of them of you weren't just the average Joes who were walking down the block. These were people who were really holding in the deepest levels of Kabbalah, of Jewish mysticism. They knew about all the meditations, the incantations, everything. They knew the pragmatic service backwards and forwards, everything that they had to do. They were learning under Aaron and Moshe. They were really, really great people. But what killed them was that they did something that they weren't commanded to do. And the Sfas Emes says, in the name of his grandfather, the Chidush Arim, that teaches us the concept of a mitzvah. The difference between a mitzvah and something that isn't a mitzvah is that one is commanded. Exactly. And the moment that the command leaves the picture, it is no longer a mitzvah. So these people could have known the deepest levels of understanding and knew all of the yichudim, the unifications that they should be thinking about when they're doing the service. But the moment that God didn't command them to do it, it stripped it of all of its meaning, which is very inspirational for us, for people who don't necessarily know everything, who don't know so much, who don't know the purpose and the meaning and the connections between every single thing. That even so, ultimately, all that God wants is for us to do things that he wants us to do. If he commands us to do something, if we do it because Hashem commanded us, that is the bare bones definition and the bare bones purpose of a mitzvah. This reminds me of a beautiful quote by R.E. Kaplan in his Practical Guide to Jewish Meditation, page 149. If you haven't read it yet, I really recommend that you read it. And if you have read it, I recommend that you review it, because there's so much beauty and so much depth and so many treasures and gems in here. Ari Kaplan writes, "Imagine that you are in love. You are constantly trying to do things to please your beloved and draw closer to him or her. If the beloved makes a request, you may see it as a unique opportunity to express your love. There is no greater pleasure than doing something like that. The very fact that you are doing something that your beloved desires makes it a total act of love. When we do a mitzvah, and we do a mitzvah because Hashem commanded us to do it, this all of a sudden now becomes an act of love. We want to develop our relationship with him, therefore we should do things that he wants us to do. Hashem is giving us a really, a really big gift. Oftentimes we don't necessarily know what the best way to act is and what the best way to show our love is. Hashem is saying, you want to show your love to me? You want to develop a relationship with me? Here are these mitzvos. Do these mitzvos. A mitzvah really comes from the word, as the Shlub brings down, many other people bring down, comes from the word savta, connection, closeness, relationship. That's the point of a mitzvah, to develop that love between us and God. And he said that he gave us the toolbox. He gave us the rule book to see, to show how we can develop that closeness and that love with him. I would like to end off with one last idea. Rashi brings down, if you look in Parak Yud Pasuk Beis, he brings down in the name of Rabbi Yishmael in the Medrash that the reason why they were killed, none of them of you were killed, was because they drank wine before going into the Mikdash. What's the obvious question? What's the problem about drinking wine before you go into the Mikdash? As an agav, as an aside, the Shulchan Aruch brings down that there's an isser, one's prohibited from drinking wine before you daven, before you pray. You're not allowed to daven and do the avoda when you're inebriated. If you even have a revius, a couple of ounces worth of wine, you're not allowed to. So what's the problem? David HaMelech says in Tehillim, V'yayin yisamach levavanush, that wine gladdens the heart of man. Aren't we supposed to be happy when we daven? Aren't we supposed to be happy when we do the avoda? I mean, the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins, if you look in Or HaChaim, Tzadi Gimel, Sif Katan Beis, Sif Beis, I'm sorry, the Mechaber writes, Lo yamod lispalel ala be'ema vachna, lo mitoch schok v'kalas rosh. And it says, lo mitoch kas, ala mitoch simcha. One isn't supposed to daven in states of anger and anguish, all those different things. Rather, a person's supposed to daven when they are happy. Hey, I thought that wine makes a person happy. So why can't a person daven when they are happy? Why were none of you punished for drinking wine before they went to the Mikdash? Rav Simcha Bonham of Shischa says the following. If you are davening and if you need an external stimulus, wine, in order to bring you to a state of happiness, you're missing the point. We are supposed to be happy because we are being close with Hashem at that moment. We're supposed to be happy in the moment, being present with God. If we have to rely on external catalysts, on external stimuli, then we are totally not experiencing what we're supposed to be. We're looking at outward when we're supposed to be really looking inward. We're supposed to be present. And that is why it is prohibited to drink wine when we daven and before we daven. I'd like to end off with a story of Rav Zisha, the brother of the Noam Elimelech. Rav Zisha was once in Kriyas HaTorah in his shul. They were about to start reading the Torah, and all of a sudden, the chazan, the Baal Koreh, started off as most kriyas start off, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor, and God spoke to Moshe saying. All of a sudden, Rav Zisha started jumping up and down and doing somersaults and cartwheels and shrieking on top of his lungs. And his chassidim looked at him and they said, "No, Rav Zisha, what are you doing?" They couldn't speak to him because it was in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So they waited until afterwards and they went up to Rav Zisha. They said, "I don't understand. We don't understand. We say this pasuk so many times. This is the beginning of most parshios. Why are you so happy and why are you jumping up and down right now?" And Rav Zisha looked at them and he said, "There are two ways of looking at Torah. You can look at Torah as a book filled with information, or you can look at Torah as a Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor. Oh my gosh, Hashem is speaking to us. Let's be present and let's feel the joy in that." May we be zocha to have a beautiful Shabbos. Bye-bye. Zay gezunt.